We come to this evening's message. Before we begin the new series of studies, we will do these selected passages. And this evening we come to Judges chapter 18. Beware of a false peace. Now the destruction of the city of Laish in Judges 18 has been recognized by many preachers as a rich evangelistic passage. Laish, by the way, has been discovered by archaeology many years ago at the University of Liverpool, in which there is a department of Oriental Studies. There were two respected Christian men who were professors there, and they were involved in the study of Laish. And it was from them, from one of their talks, that I came to realize that Laish in recent years have actually been discovered. Now, the question we wish to consider this evening is, what may we learn from this passage concerning salvation? We want to discover from this message that there is a danger of a false peace which we can rest in. And what we need is a true peace in the true God. And before we come to consider further what may be learned from this passage, we need to look at the background. This was the period of the judges. The children of Israel had been led by Moses out of Egypt to go to the promised land of Canaan. Joshua, after the death of Moses, had led the Israelites into Canaan. Tribe after tribe of the Canaanites had been exterminated or driven out. And the people of Israel were allotted land to settle in. Now this was generally speaking. Actually, pockets of resistance still were found in the land of Canaan. The people of Israel became tired of fighting, and many of them decided to leave the Canaanite tribes alone, contrary to the will of God. And that became a pain in their neck in many years to come. One of the immediate problems was that they were unable to freely distribute the land of Canaan among the 12 tribes. Most of the tribes had been settled. They were given parcels of land. But there was a tribe of Dan which had not been given any land. And the Danites were rather restless at that time. And at that time, leaders known as judges were raised up by God to lead the Israelites. There was no king yet. King Saul, King David and Solomon, those people will be raised up later. But this was the transition period between settling in the land of Canaan and being ruled by a human king. And in this period of judges, when people were attempting to settle down in the land apportioned to each tribe, there was simply no time to consider what they should do together as a nation. And in chapter 18, verse 1 of Judges, we are told of the situation. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. That was the situation. The Danites were restless. They had not been given their portion of land. Most of the tribes of the other tribes had been settled, but there were a few tribes who still were waiting for the other Canaanites to be driven out or to be destroyed. Then, only then will they be apportioned their land. And in chapter 17, verse 6, we are given a description of the situation like this. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. It was a period of lawlessness. And since the Danites were unsettled, they decided to spy out at least for some temporary place to settle. They were waiting for the whole nation to be united to drive out the remainder of the Canaanite tribes or to destroy them. But since everybody were busy and everybody were taking care of their own situation and everyone was tired of fighting already, the Danites had to act on their own. And so what they did was they chose 5 men to be sent out as spies to scout out the land. If the other tribes would not help us, if they claim they are busy, if they ask us to wait, we wouldn't wait. We would send out our 5 spies to spy out the land. And as they went near to the region of Ephraim, a large tribe that had settled, they came to this city, this region known as Laish. And the story tonight revolved around this city of Laish. And another thing to be noted is that the nation of Israel was in a period of spiritual decline. There was this man by the name of Micah in the region of Ephraim. He had employed a Levite to be his own family priest. Idolatry was freely practiced. Superstition abound. The spies came, and when they recognized the voice of this man, the Levite, they quickly turned to seek his guidance. They wanted the priest to find out from Jehovah whether their mission would be successful or not. And the priest simply said to them, go, you see, it will be a success. And the spies came back to report to the tribe of Dan. And as they sent forth 600 men to attack Laish, they came past this man Micah again. And they were so full of superstition that they wanted all the household idols in Micah's house to be taken to accompany them. And they even roped their priest, the Levite, to bring him along. And along the way, this Micah was unhappy when he discovered he had been robbed not only of his idols, but also of his household priest. He gathered together all his servants and chased after the Danites. And in verse 24, when he challenged the Danites, the Danites asked him, what is your problem? Why are you coming after us? And in verse 24 he said, you have taken away my gods which I made, and the priest, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, what ails you? Now what's your problem? So you see, he came chasing after them and demanded back the gods which he had made. Gods which you make. Can you imagine that? And you have taken away my household priest. And what happened was that in verse 25, and the children of Dan said to him, do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household. Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. Poor man, Micah, he was no match for the fierce Danites, who warned him, hey, don't raise your voice in our midst, otherwise you and your family would be dead. So he went away, losing his household idols and also his household priest. That was the type of superstition that prevailed. So the children of Dan, the descendants of Dan, went forward to attack this city of Laish. So that covers the background. We consider next the character of this city and the people of Laish. And as we consider the people of Laish, Let us also draw parallels with the people today. Firstly, we can say that this people of Laish was a people who loved peace. And straight away you say, that is what I want. And that is what the generality of people want in this world. We want peace. We do not want war. And how did they find peace? They went to a far away place, far from other people. And they found that there was this plot of land which nobody else had settled. So they went there and cleared the place and settled there. And being far away from others, they could do as they liked. They would not be troubled by others. And twice in this passage we are told that Laish was safe and secure. In verse 7 of chapter 18 we are told, so the five men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. Then in verse 27 we are told, so they took the things Micah had made and the priests who had belonged to him and went to Laish, to a people quiet and secure. So you see now that Laish was a quiet place with no disturbance from others. It was a secure place. They thought they were secure because they were far from people. Nobody would know that they are living there. They do not want to send people out. They do not need people to come in. They were a self-sufficient people. Then, the second thing that can be said about these people is that they loved ease. They did not want to work too hard for a living. They just wanted a good life. And they thought they had it because the land was large. So there was no need to quarrel over land. The land was fertile, so it produced a lot, meeting all their needs. And there was no lack of anything. It was a self-sufficient place. They were a self-sufficient people. They did not have to toil. They did not have to fight. They did not have to work hard. They could live an easy as well as a quiet life. So it is not only a quiet life they had, but they had an easy life. And if you look at verse 9 and verse 10, the spies told the children of the Danites. The spies said, arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land. And indeed, it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land. For God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth. They have no lack of anything on the earth. If you want gaming, you want entertainment, you want food, you want to do anything you like, it is there. Everything on earth that your heart desires may are to be is to be found there. So that is what it is like with the people of Laish at the time when this episode occurred. Then, thirdly, we can say the people of Laish loved personal freedom. They had no ruler who ruled over them, and therefore they could do as they like. Already we have looked at chapter 17, verse 7. Now, verse 6, we are told, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. There was lawlessness. There was no law ruling everyone. So everyone could do as he liked. The people of Laish did not want quarrel, did not want trouble. So they moved away to this land which they had found. And they thought they could do as they liked without being troubled by anyone. And in chapter 18, verse 7, we are told, so the five men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. Then look at the subsequent words. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians and they had no ties with anyone. Now the fact that they had no rulers who might put them to shame shows to us that they could do as they liked. Their life was not altogether upright in Laish. They really wanted a good life and they did as they liked. They were not bothered about morals. They could just do anything they liked. And that was the situation with them. No police, no law, no courts, no magistrate. You can do as you like because it is our country. Each must be allowed his freedom to do as he likes. So this is a people who love personal freedom to the extent that they could do just anything they like, regardless of morals. Now when you put these three characteristics of the people of Laish together, you now understand what sort of people are found there. At first you thought they were a peace-loving people. So that seemed to be so attractive to you. Then you discover that they love ease. They wanted a good life without having to work too hard. You thought, you know, actually, given the choice, of course, I would want that. Who would want to have to work too hard to have a good life? Then, thirdly, when you discover they love their personal freedom to the extent that there was no restraint, there's no person anywhere in the world who would bother you about whether you're doing right or wrong. You're just free to do what you like. Feel this life is really very attractive. It is an easy life. It is a carefree life with no one to bother me. I can do as I like. And you discover that in such a situation, you also can look at it the other way. There is no responsibility to bear. There's no church to preach to me. There's no police to catch me. There is no need for me to be accountable. If I like to sleep late in the morning, I sleep. If I want to wake up in the middle of the night, I wake up. If I want to do anything my heart desires, I can do. With no need to look around over my shoulders to see if anybody is watching. I really have the freedom to live this life. It is a libertine life. It is a life that is liberal, loose, permissive, abundant, opulent. You can have anything you like, live as you like, enjoy as you like. Now, which one of us would not be attracted to such a life? Be very careful now. This is exactly the sort of life many people in this world would seek. And given the opportunity for us to choose between the life as we know it, in any situation, in any part of the world, at any time, and Laish, I believe there will be many in this world who would choose Laish. Now you can almost say that Laish was the Shangri-La of today. Today we have this dream place known as Shangri-La. But Laish was the Shangri-La of those days. It really was a place where people live as they like, carefree, with nothing to worry about, with nothing in the world to trouble us. We have left all the quarrels and the war of the people behind us. We have removed ourselves far from any civilization. And we have no need of anyone because our civilization is good enough for ourselves. We are cut off from everyone, but we have all that we need. We are happy here. Don't trouble us, and we do not want to trouble you. Now that is the sort of life. It sounds so attractive. And many in this world have attempted to get that sort of life in one way or another in their life. And it will not be surprising if along the way some such thoughts have occurred to you. Perhaps you have a dream house. Now where can you have that dream house? You drive around Penang, you say, up on the hill. But still, you know, it is not perfect. You think of a place nearer Kuala Lumpur, perhaps up Genting or up Fraser's Hill. Or perhaps go to Semenanjung somewhere, find a plot of land with a river running through. now with the birds singing in the air, you know, in the jungle, unspoiled by pollution, you see, and you try to cut yourself off, and what else would you like? You like to have good living without having to toil too much. Why work so hard each day? And why have to constantly face your boss with his or her sour face? And then why having to have all these meetings? And then why live in a city congested with traffic? The air is not pure and we can't sleep in peace. There will be robbers coming to attack us, and we do not want this type of life. We want to keep ourselves clear and be at peace with nature, with one another. We don't bother others, others do not bother us. Now try seeking such a place, and you will find that there is no such place on the face of this earth. If ever you find such a place, tell me, because I have the story of Laish to tell you. Now, as we proceed, you discover that this is the worldly ambition of natural man. He wants an easy, carefree life. There is no responsibility to bear. There's no man troubling your conscience. There's no law which you have to consider whether you are breaking or not. There is simply nothing to trouble you. Now, this is what we call a false peace. It is a peace in which you try to live out reality. It is a peace in which you try to live out God. So let us consider it more closely. Why it is a false peace? Firstly, you fail to take into consideration the fact that your life on this earth is only temporary. And in fact, the world you are living in is temporary. You built a nice house somewhere by the hillside with fresh air, with no noise and no pollution. And you think you have discovered your utopia on the face of this earth. Your dream land, your dream house, the place you would like to be, your Shangri-La. And you discover that before too long, you're too old to enjoy all your toil at building up this nice place. The money pumped in. And you thought, you know, okay, I have only a few years to enjoy this, but perhaps my children can enjoy it. But your children will not be able to enjoy this forever. They will pass away. The buildings and the farm and so on will soon be left untended, and the hills around will even outlast you. You see? And you have to leave all this behind. You are only temporary in this world. You cannot find a place that is peaceful, that will not have any trouble, and you will remain happy forever. You are only temporary on the face of this earth. And this earth itself, although it outlasts so many generations of people, it itself is in decay. The world is decaying. The world itself is gradually being eroded away. The mountain will crumble. That nice limestone hill you find, so beautiful, it will break into pieces. The river soon will dry up, and you discover the jungles will grow wild. And you discover that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will return and judge the world. And that is something we have to consider in a moment. But what we are saying is even the mountains and the hills that outlast so many generations of people, they themselves are decaying. And one day they will be melted down. They will be here no more. So what we are saying then is that you can find no place on this earth which is completely satisfying simply because you are a mortal on this earth. You are here only temporary. One day you will die. The nicest house will be left behind. The best environment will become bad. The living condition that you have valued will be left to others. You will not be able to enjoy it forever. So take into consideration this point. Never forget this point. Never be too self-satisfied in this world. Never be too contented. Always remember that you are only temporary. Secondly, You fail to take into consideration the fact that you live in a fallen world. And being in a fallen world means that the people around you are sinful like you. And if you do not want trouble with others, others will find trouble for you. And the people of Laish thought that they could be far from the Sidonians, they could be far from the children of Israel, they could do as they like. They could live in peace, their kind of peace. But you see, they failed to take into consideration that there was this restless Danite who would send out spies to spy out their land. And they failed to take into consideration that out of all the tribes of the world, there was this Danites who were restless and wanted a place of their own. And although they had been in that place earlier than anybody else and could lay claim to being first there, but the Danites would not be bothered about that. They would not bother who is first there and who that piece of land, that plot of land belonged to. The Danites of the world will come to plunder you if ever you find any secure, safe place on this earth. Now look, what can possibly destroy you because of the fact that this world is fallen? There will be robbers who come. Remember, not too long ago, there was this old couple who had retired, and they chose a peaceful pensioner's town, the town of Taiping, to settle in. Before too long, robbers came and killed husband and wife. And of course, our heart sends this righteous anger against such an act. That is a wicked act. This couple had done nothing wrong to you, and they just want some peace. And they went to retire in that pensioner's town of Taiping. You see, why go and trouble them? And why take their life? You see? Now, robbing them is already bad enough. You go to the extent of killing them, husband and wife. But that is fact, my friend. We live in a sinful world. Much as we want peace, others would not give us peace. Much as we do not want to trouble others, others come and trouble us. And even if you discount the fact that there will be robbers, there will be all the orang-orang asing, the foreigners, all the unexpected people who would come to attack you. Even if you discount that, remember, brewing inside your body may be a Danite attacking. There may be a tumor growing somewhere in your organs. And very soon you are going to discover that you have to seek out a doctor. And soon you discover that there is an incurable disease in you. Now, that can spoil all your plan of a peaceful retirement. And what about famine? You think that you have planted so well and your crops are producing much fruit and you can enjoy your retirement. You discover that very soon the unexpected famine comes and destroys all that you have placed your hope on. And similarly in the city, there are those who have stocked up all their funds and just living on their interest from the bank. They do not have to work anymore, or their bonds in the stock market. They are just getting all those returns. They can live happily forever. But it's not forever. Economic crisis can occur unexpectedly. The banks can close. Even the banks, they can close down, and there will be no one to bail them out. Which means that there will be no one to bail you out. Now, 1,001 unexpected things can happen in this world. This world is an uncertain world. It is a fallen world. People's hearts are wicked. The whole system is affected by sin. And we know that it all began with Adam. When Adam sinned against God, the whole of creation, which was linked to man, was dragged down. That is why death and decay occurs all around us. Unhappiness comes to us. Your peace is an elusive type of peace. It is not a real type of peace. For the simple reason that you fail to take into consideration this second factor. that we live in a fallen world. Now thirdly, you fail to take into consideration the fact that you are answerable to your Creator. God is the one who placed you on this earth. Your life came from God. In fact, all the opportunities you have had earning a living and toiling and reaching your present state, all those opportunities have actually been given to you by God. And the present circumstances which you find so pleasant, so enjoyable, remember they all have come from God. And you cannot cut off God who has provided you all this. You can pretend that He does not exist, but He still exists. You can pretend that you will never have to have any dealings with Him, but you know that one day you will have to face with Him. He is your Creator. You must acknowledge Him, and He demands that you live in accordance to His law. He is the righteous judge of this earth. He does not demand more than is right from you. And it is only right that as the creature who has received all good things from His hand, it is only right that we acknowledge Him and live to His glory. But because you have failed to worship Him, because you have tried to run away from Him, because you have pretended that He does not exist, you discover that this will spoil your peace, because the day will come when you have to face with your Creator. You have to give an account of yourself to Him. And every day that passes, every week that passes, every month, every year, brings you closer to the time when you will have to face with your Creator, when you have to give an account, when He will ask you, what have you done with your life? I've given you life, I've given you opportunities, I've given you all the pleasant circumstances, all the potential situation for you to work on, to better yourself, to come to know Me as your Creator, to worship Me, to live to My glory. But what have you done? You have not lived as you ought. So you see now, just taking into consideration these three facts, it's sufficient to show to you that whatever peace that you experience in this world is only temporary, elusive, and not real. You see now that this world is temporary, your life is temporary. Then you note that this is a fallen world full of evil people, and pain and decay and suffering is everywhere. And then you have to take into consideration the fact that one day we have to face with our Creator. You see, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So we cannot run away from reality. You can pursue your Shangri-La or your utopia, but I can tell you that it is only in your dreams. Let us wake up to face reality. Let us seek the true peace that is promised to us in the Bible, rather than adopt the attitude of the people of Laish. Look, what was wrong with the people of Laish? We have spoken enough about them, and we have seen that many people in the world are like the people of Laish. But consider the reality that we have tried to put forward to you. The people of Laish did not make any provision for fighting evil. The people of Laish did not make provision for having to face death. The people of Laish had not made provision for having to face their Creator. That is the reality. So when the Danites attacked, there was no army to defend them. And there was no courts to determine who was right, who was wrong. And they were just simply at the mercy of these wild people, these angry people, these hungry people who just came in and attacked. And note how many people came to attack them. It wasn't a huge army. It was only 600 men who came to attack Laish. And Laish fell. Now what does it need to drag down a proud man who arrogantly struts in the world, the corporate world? What does it need to humble a man who takes pride in his good health and his good looks, what does it need to humble a person who thinks that he is so grand in this world? Now, it may be that you are doing well in your job, in your career. Now, at that point, God can humble you. It may be that you take pride in the fact that you're healthy and you're good looking. At that point, God can take you and humble you. You may say, I have no great ambitions to be rich or to be famous or to be powerful. I just want to be left alone with my family. I love my family. I love my children. At that point where you feel so content, God can take away your peace. You see? Now, there are so many things that can happen which will humble us and cause us to realize we cannot live as we like. We live in God's will. God has given us this life to live to His glory. And it is just simply wrong to try and avoid God and run away from Him. It is simply wrong to pretend that we do not have to face with judgment. So that is the situation. We must not be like the people of Laish. One incurable disease can cause a rich man to plead for mercy. Any such thing can happen to you. Only 600 men was able, a small army was able to destroy the whole of Laish. They were so helpless in the face of this attack. Now we must come to the realization that we cannot live like the people of Laish. We cannot live in our dream world. We cannot pretend that there is no judgment, that this world will last forever. No, we mustn't. So what are we to do? Take stock of your situation. All is not lost yet. God has shown you mercy by not calling you to judgment earlier than you deserve. If no incurable disease has stricken you yet, remember it has stricken so many others around you. If no economic crisis has brought down any corporate leader yet, remember if it hasn't affected you yet, remember it has affected so many others. And if there is nothing to spoil your family peace and tranquility, remember there are so many families that have broken up and are so unhappy. Now God has been merciful to you. You do not deserve the goodness of God, but God in His mercy has not judged you as you deserve yet. Now scriptures show you that God is patient with sinners. He's merciful with sinners with the intention that you would repent, turn back from your own way of life to seek peace with Him. And scripture shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ has been sentenced into this world to pay for the penalty of our sin, and that He has come in order to provide the way for reconciliation with our Creator. Now, this is what we must consider. That God in His mercy has not punished us as we deserve yet. Instead, He has provided the way of reconciliation with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. What is needed for you to do now is to respond to the offer of God. God is saying, here is peace, true peace, eternal peace, through my Son, Jesus Christ. Will you not come to me? Now here is true blessing when you are at peace with me, through my Son, Jesus Christ. Do you not want this blessing? Friend, let us face reality. Let us know that The only peace is the peace that God provides to us through His Son Jesus Christ. Don't seek the peace of this world. Don't be so self-sufficient and so contented. Be so contented with yourself and your circumstances. It is an illusion to seek peace in this world. You must rather seek peace with God through His Son Jesus Christ. I hope by this stage you are convinced that there is no point in trying to seek peace and prosperity and blessing in this world. The only peace that is real and lasting is peace with our Creator. And that is possible only through His Son Jesus Christ, who has paid the price of our sins. So seek eternal peace with God. Seek the blessing that God is offering to you through His Son Jesus Christ. All that you need to know God as your God is found in Jesus Christ. So why not come to Jesus Christ today? Why not make tonight the turning point of your life when you will no more seek the peace of this world, when you turn to seek peace with God through His Son Jesus Christ? Friends, don't be foolish like the people of Laish. There is no Shangri-La to be found on this earth. Let us find peace with God that we may arrive safely in heaven one day. Now that is what is being offered to you in this story of Laish, that you will turn from seeking peace in this world, but rather that you will seek peace with your Creator. So let this be the night when you are convinced and you make up your mind and you turn from this world to come and trust in Jesus Christ. Tonight, the peace of God can be yours if you come to Jesus Christ.